Jeremiah chapter 20, when you get there and you're willing and able to tonight, I ask you to please stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. We're going to have a little bit of a lengthy reading here. There's 18 verses in this chapter, and I just want to read through each one of them slowly and clearly tonight. Jeremiah chapter 20, and the Bible says there in the very first verse, it says, "Now Pashur the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Missabib. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself, and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. And he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the laborers thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah, will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thy house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast delivered me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made reproach unto me in a derision daily. Then I said," now this is Jeremiah speaking, "then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary from forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, Peradventure, he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the hearts, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my call. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for we have delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, A man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew, and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning, and the shouting at noontime, because he slew me not from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave, or her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow. My days should be consumed with shame." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessed time and opportunity. We pray that you would pour a special blessing out upon the reading of thy word. Give us grace and honor tonight, Lord, in the precious name of Christ, as we come to meet together. In thy name we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much. Please be seated. I do thank you so much for standing for the long reading tonight. But I want to say, by way of introduction this evening, let me say this concerning the Word of God, that what we have in the Bible tonight is an indispensable resource for life. Friend, the Word of God is our central source of strength and stability. I think we would all agree with that tonight. And it is our living, it is a breathing entity tonight. It affects our life, it affects our walk, it affects our word, it affects our ways. The decisions of our life on a daily basis are devised many times solely out of the written Word of God. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" I would be willing to sit here, and I don't wager, don't bet, don't gamble, but I don't believe it would be a wager. I don't think there'd be any gambling in it. That majority of the decisions that you make in your life, especially heavy decisions, be them financial decisions or whatever they are, you're going to make from something that you learn through the Word of God. As a saved individual, we weigh and balance the decisions that we make in our life, the places we go, the things we say, what we think, what we put in our ears and our eyes, what comes out of our mouth, through what the Word of God would teach us and what would be pleasing unto our Savior. We find that His words here that are spoken, they're written in the Word of God tonight, and they're written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. We have the purified, preserved, living Word of God perfectly bound tonight in our Bible this evening. Can you agree with me right there? Say amen. See, the Word of God is revealed in our lives, friend. Many a times when we live our life, the only Word of God or only Bible that these people read in our communities tonight is what they see in us, in our actions, in our life, and in what we do. And we find that the times that we're living in, I believe that we're living in exciting times. I believe we're living in days that we've been talking about and preaching about and singing about all these years. We're watching them come to pass right now. We are on the very brink of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. We're seeing things wind up tonight, and you and I are able, we are blessed to be part of something that has been preached about through the Word of God for thousands of years, amen. I don't know about you, but that makes me pretty excited, amen. Yeah. You see, here's the deal. While one family, what we need to understand, while one family on one side of the fence, if you will, is laughing and having a good time and in the midst of joy and they're happy and they're just having a wonderful time in life, there's another family who's lamenting, who's going through sorrow, who's going through pains. I mean, we just read the 20th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and I don't know about you, but I don't think I want to go to the 20th chapter of the book of Jeremiah to be encouraged, amen. That was pretty depressing. Would you not agree with me tonight? I mean, Jeremiah basically says this. He says, you know what, I'm done. I'm preaching what God is telling me to preach. I'm preaching every single day. I'm standing upon His Word. I'm honoring His precepts. I'm trying to live a life for Him. And everybody's ridiculing me. Everybody's mocking me out. Nobody is supporting what I'm saying. Nobody's doing anything that I have to say. And while some people are happy, other people are mourning. And Jeremiah's in the middle of everyone saying, I'm finished. I'm not going to say another word in His name. I'm not going to speak another word about Jesus Christ or about the Lord. I'm not going to do anything whatsoever. And I'm saying all that to you tonight just by way of introduction, because life is odd in the fashion that we live. You see, I presented this to somebody one time. I asked them if they could go back to September 8th, 1998. Tell me what they were doing between 7 and... Let me see, out here it'd be between 5 and 8 p.m. If you can remember what you were doing, Eastern Standard Time was about between 8 and 10 p.m. And you say, well, preacher, how in the world can I remember that? Well, I can tell you exactly what I was doing at that time, September 8, 1998. I was sitting in a black leather chair, and I was watching the St. Louis Cardinals play, and I watched Mark McGwire hit his 70th home run for the season, amen. And I remember that. And I remember that everybody in St. Louis was rejoicing and they were excited. But you know what? I had sense enough to know that while everybody was excited about Mark McGwire's 70th home run, there was more than likely a family in another state or another part of the country or another part of the world that was going through sadness, that was going through heartache. They might have lost a loved one or lost a family member or lost a job or whatever it may be. And we find tonight that while some people may be walking through the valley in their life, while somebody may be in dark times of their days this evening, other people are on a mountaintop rejoicing and having a great time. But through it all, my friend, through the great, through the terrible, we have tonight an indispensable resource that can get us through everything that we need this evening. Amen. And that is the precious Word of God. Amen. You see, when we find that the Bible today is our sole authority for faith and practice, sometimes we find in people's lives that they put the Word of God to the side and they forget about it, even when troubles come. One preacher put it like this. He said, the sin of the church today is that we have extended the logistics of Christianity over the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It says that it pierces even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of the marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know what that Word of God will do, Brother Josh? You know what it'll do? Is that Word of God will step down inside of your soul, and it will discern between your thoughts and your intentions whether it be right or whether it be wrong. Even when you say, man, I'm having a bad day today, the Word of God will seek deep inside of your heart and will begin to comfort you. Even in the times that you've already been reserved to know, today's a bad day, today's over with, there's a black cloud, the Word of God will come inside there and it'll begin to nurture that heart. It'll begin to tender it and say, you know what, it's going to be okay. We have an indispensable resource tonight. Look with me, if you will, at Jeremiah here. I think everybody would admit that Jeremiah is one of the great prophets, but I want you to look at his life. I'm going to say this about Jeremiah this evening. Jeremiah is having one of those days. We've all had those kind of days where it seemed like that black cloud, no matter how far we drive, no matter place we walk, no matter where we go, it seems like the cloud just follows us everywhere we go, right? Raining on us everywhere, the sun's shining in everybody else's lives, but not in Jeremiah's life today. He is called the weeping prophet. He did write Lamentations. He was the weeping prophet over what the sin of Israel and how they turned their backs on God. But what we find in his life, this is just one of those days where Jeremiah sits down and says, I'm finished and I'm quitting. I'm done. Look there in verse 8 where he says, for since I spake, he says, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. What Jeremiah is saying is that he says, everything that I'm preaching, the word of God is coming back upon me. I'm giving everyone the truth, yet no one's listening to me. No one is appreciating what I'm saying. I often wonder sometimes if Jeremiah wasn't a church planner, if you will, or a future pattern of what church planners go through. Because there's days when a pastor gets up into the pulpit and he's preaching. He's poured his heart out into the sermon. He's poured his heart out into study and poured his heart out into prayer. And he's got into the pulpit and he's preached the Word of God and what God has given him, and it seems like it's just falling on deaf ears, and it seems like it's not making a difference at all. In verse 9, we find in the first part, this is what Jeremiah says. He says, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name. Do you know what he just said, guys? He said, I'm done, man. He said, I'm finished. You can have it. You can do it. I'm not going to mention his name. Now, can you imagine getting to the point in your Christianity today where you would say, I'm finished? Some of you may say, yeah, preacher, I was there one time. Some of you may say, no, I cannot imagine me ever being there. But can you imagine getting to the point in your life where you refuse to say, I'm not going to pass a tract out to anyone. I'm not going to go in there and witness to another soul. I'm done. I'm tired of being abused. I'm tired of being rejected. I'm tired of being looked upon as I'm an off score. I'm tired of all of this. I'm just fed up. But notice with me that in Jeremiah's darkest moments, at the point where he made the proclamation that I will no longer speak in his name, watch how the Holy Spirit of God moves upon him, but he moves upon him not in any other form, but through the word that we have today. Verse 9, the latter part says, but his word was in my heart as a burning flame shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. Watch this. And I could not stay. In his darkest moments of his life, it was the word of God that would not let Jeremiah quit. It was the Word of God that would not let him say, I'm done. It was the Word of God that would not let the ink dry on his letter of a resignation. It was the Word of God that says, no, you're not finished until I say you're finished. You see, the reason Jeremiah was so engulfed in the ministry was he was a partaker of the Word. The Word was in his heart. It was written upon the table of his heart, as the Bible commands us to write the Word of God upon the table of thine heart. And it was burning. There was a fire smoldering deep inside of his heart, and it burned within him with desire to combust into an inferno so that everybody would benefit from it. Proverbs says, take fast hold of instruction and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Can I say this to you tonight as we move forward? Is that diligence and consistency in the Word of God will keep a fire burning inside of your heart today, not activity. You can be active for 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can be active even serving the Lord. But if you're doing that outside of the Word of God, you'll end up becoming cold and becoming indifferent. I've seen it many times in Christians' lives, and I've likened it unto this. If you would, you know, when you guys have an open fire at your house or something, and that fire is just burning and it's burning and the house is getting warm, and reach in there with some tongs or something and grab one of those big long embers out that's just glowing hot red, and just move it just maybe 6 to 8 inches away from the fire and sit back and watch it and watch what happens. It'll stay glowing for a period of time, but eventually, you know what happens? It gets dark. And eventually becomes cool. The fire burns out. It is the Word of God inside of our hearts that will keep us burning. And the more we get engulfed with the Word of God and involved in reading the Word of God and taking it and putting it inside of our heart tonight, when those dark days come, when those showers hit, when those depressing times, when we hit that valley, no matter whose fault, no matter where we are, no matter what has happened, brother, that Word of God will burn inside of that heart. And it'll burn to the point where you'll say, as Jeremiah, I cannot stay. I cannot quit. I must move on and move ahead. The Word of God inside of your heart tonight, number one, will produce a fire of conviction. Look with me there. We've already read the latter part of verse 9 where it says, but His Word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. He says, and I was weary with forbearing. He says, I could not stay. Watch this in verse 11. Jeremiah says, and this is the key. He says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and they shall not prevail and they shall be greatly ashamed for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Friend, can I just say this to you tonight? Just plainly and simply this evening, we are on the winning side. Can I get an amen? Amen? We are the ones that are victorious. Can I get another amen? Listen, there are battles and battles and battles that are before us, but in the end of the story, we are the one that gets the win. Amen. We're the one with the victory on the other side. That's us tonight. So the last thing that we need to do is go through this life today like somebody ran our favorite cat over and kicked our dog out on the way out the door today. We need to go through this life excited with the Word of God. Shut up inside of our heart as a burning flame of conviction that we may live for Him and serve Him in the days that He's given us in this life. Conviction is a vital role in the Christian life. Notice what He says there in verse 11. He says, but the Lord is with me. Now, I've heard someone say this, and I hope I don't misquote it, but when they say, when it's you and the Lord, you're always in the majority. Something along that line. Now, would you not agree with that tonight? Right. You know what? You can give me 4,000 mighty strong men of valor tonight, and I'll take me and the Lord up against anything and anyone in this world today. Because me without the Lord is nothing, but me and the Lord, we are in the majority. Amen. You know, listen, I want you to get a hold of really what He's saying right here in verse 11. When He says, but the Lord is with me in your Bibles, that's going to be a capital L. And that's going to be a small cap O-R-D. That is a distinctive name of who the Lord is. It's different than capital L, lowercase O-R-D. Capital L, small caps O-R-D, comes from the same word that we get Jehovah or get Yahweh in the Hebrew text. This is the same way when David in Psalm 23 verse 1 said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This Lord or Jehovah or Yahweh means by definition the self-existing eternal one. By the way, that's the same one who created everything, and there's nothing out there that is not created. It wasn't created by Him. It's the same one that in all things consists. It's the same thing that He created for everything for His goodwill and His good pleasure. So that self-existing eternal one tonight, as David said, I shall not want because He's with me. Jeremiah's locked up and stocks here, locked up in jail, ready to quit. But then he says, but the Lord is with me. You know, it's the same one in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses said, who shall I say that sent me? And he said, I am that I am has sent thee. That phrase, I am that I am, in the Hebrew is Yara. That's the derivative word of Yahweh. And Jesus Christ said unto the Pharisees before Abraham was, I am, praise the Lord. Listen, Jeremiah is saying the Son of God here, the one, the self-existing eternal one that created everything that there is. He's with me. Well, I don't know about you, but that's a little bit of conviction. I don't know about you, but that Word of God burns up inside of my heart. It makes me a little bit excited. And it takes away some fear that we may have in our life. Even though we're all going to go through dark times, guys. We are not going to be without depression. We're not going to be without discouragement. We're not going to be without times of trouble. That's not going to happen in this life. However, we don't have to go through it alone.
That's right.
When that Word of God is written upon our heart, that convicting part, that burning conviction that sets inside of our heart that says, you know what, I am not alone, but the Lord is with me. When you place the Word of God in your heart, friend, when you put it down in there, it will produce a fire of conviction. But secondly, tonight, it will produce a fire, listen carefully, of compassion. Look at verse 12. Jeremiah says, "But if the Lord of hosts," same Lord again, "that trieth the righteous and seeth the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened," watch this, "my cause." You say, well, preacher, how's that compassion? Jeremiah is seeking for their hearts to be opened, for their heart to be open for the cause that he has been given by God. And friend, when you write the Word of God upon the table of your heart, do you know what it'll give you? A burning fire of compassion for the lost souls in this world today. For the loss that is in this world, no matter what sin they've committed. I understand that many of us, by natural right of who and what we may be, we look out there and we want to say, you know, yeah, but we look at those despicable people, you know, those people that are doing all the wrong things, and we want to stick our nose down at them. We want to cast them to the side. And friend, I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't a sin too large today that God can't forgive. Amen. There ain't nobody on the face of this planet too far from God. There's no one tonight that God's hand is not long enough that He may be able to save. You can sit tonight in your pews and say, yeah, but I know some people, they're too far gone. Then you're serving the wrong God. Somebody say amen to that. He will save who is willing to come to Him by faith, through repentance, and believe on Him, and He'll save them by grace. That's what grace is. Amen. Grace is the undeserved receiving that which they do not deserve. Amen? Listen, grace is you not getting what you do deserve. You say, I've heard people say, well, I prayed for justice. I ain't praying for justice. I pray for mercy. Say amen. Amen. Beloved, I'm here to tell you that there's a compassion that comes along with the Word of God written upon our heart. The late Colonel Sanders, you know, the founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken, was on that is the Baptist restaurant, I think it is, amen? But he was on an airplane one time, and an infant was screaming. Now, if you've ever been on an airplane where a child cries constantly, it's a blast. It's fun, amen? But an infant was screaming, and he just wouldn't stop, and the mother tried everything. The flight attendants tried everything they could, and they tried every little trick. They tried the passy, the noisemakers. They tried everything, and finally the colonel gets up, and he asked if he could hold the little baby, and he gently rocked the baby to sleep. And later on, one of the passengers came up to him and says, well, we all appreciate what you did for us. Colonel Sanders looked down and says, I didn't do it for us. I did it for the baby. See, the baby couldn't help what he was. He's a baby. And he reached out with compassion to help that little child to stop crying. That word compassion in its singular form is in the Bible 39 times, with compassion's plural only twice. But compassion means to have mercy, to help one afflicted, or to seek for aid, to help the afflicted, to bring the help to the wretched, to experience mercy with someone who's hurting. That's what compassion means. Compassion is literally associated with suffering, to experience someone suffering in order to bring aid to their life. There's often times we've passed people on the interstate and they've had a flat tire. And we've stopped and we've pulled over and we say, man, I don't have the time to stop and help them, but we do anyway. And it costs us time to get on the ground and put a tire on for a little old lady, somebody's mother, somebody's grandmother. It costs us time to help somebody's wife out on the side of the road who needed aid. Friend, that's compassion, sacrificing and paying someone's price so that you may bring aid to them. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The Bible says in Matthew 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. The Bible says in Matthew 18, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave his debt. Jesus said unto that woman, he said, weep not. He says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Peter says, finally be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. John said in his first epistle, but whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Jude says, and some have compassion, making a difference. He goes on to say, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted with flesh. Friend, can I say this to you tonight under the guise of compassion quickly, and then we'll move on to close. Fear is something that's felt. It's not seen. There is a byproduct of fear, as we saw with Felix in the book of Acts, but fear is something that a person feels. And right here in the book of Jude that I just quoted, it's not always their fear that helps us move with compassion to help someone. Sometimes it's ours. Apostle Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. You see, friend, we need to be moved with compassion because every person that we come in contact with in this world, they're a soul that will spend eternity somewhere. And if they're not afraid of eternity, let us be afraid for them, that we may be moved with compassion to help them in a time of need. You say, preacher, how do we know there's a time of need in their life? Friend, if they know not the Lord Jesus Christ, their entire life is a time of need. Well, how am I going to know? You're going to ask them is what you're going to do. Amen? It is not hard to walk up to somebody and give them a card. It isn't. It is not hard for that to be there with that bank teller or that laundromat attendant or that clerk or whomever it may be. And on the way out and say, listen, I just want to give you one of these today. All right, you have a good day. Messages on the back. Now, I'm not saying that that's all you should do, but I am telling you tonight, if that's all you can do right now, it's not hard to do that. Brother Cody here just got back from the roll-off homes. I don't know what you guys know about the roll-off homes. I know quite a bit about them. The pastor that led me to the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Roloff died in a plane crash in 1982. Brother Roloff was the one that coined the phrase that said that America is ran by, or America is as an insane asylum ran by the inmates. Amen. You may have heard that, but that, he's the one that said that. Brother Roloff was strict on his diet. He had them on a strict diet down there. But I'll tell you a little secret. He loved German chocolate cake. And when he got off into Florida, he'd get him a German chocolate cake made by Miss Sylvia Ellis. The pastor that led me to the Lord was a dear friend with Brother Lester, and he used to come and preach for him often. And I'll tell you what, because of the fruit that Brother Lester had, there are thousands, if not millions, of souls tonight across this country and abroad that came out of that home and went to the mission field because they had compassion on other people, and souls are saved. So I tell you tonight, guys, the Word of God will produce a fire of conviction in our heart, a fire of compassion. And lastly, the Word of God in our heart produces a fire of communion. Verse 13 says, sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Communion in the Word of God will produce this fire that we have in our life, a commission, if you will, to consistently work to see souls saved. Faithfulness in fulfilling the great work that Christ has given us. Friend, the word communion comes from the word koinonia, which means fellowship, associated community. It means joint participation. Can I say this to you, that communion in the Word of God will fan the flames of the great commission of Christ, but communion in the world will fuel the fire of conflict, callousness, and contention. So the reality is this evening, people simply see faithfulness in their life for what they put into their heart on a daily basis. Gypsy Smith told a man one time, he says, the man came to him who had received, this man said he hadn't received any inspiration from the Bible. The guy told Gypsy, he said, I've gone through the Bible several times and I just cannot get the inspiration that you have in the Word of God. And Gypsy Smith stopped him and said, well, quit going through the Bible and let the Bible go through you once. Then you will tell a different story. So Jeremiah chapter 20, it's Jeremiah's letter of resignation. It's Jeremiah saying, I'm done, I'm finished, I'll do no more work. But because of the Word of God and the fire of conviction, the fire of compassion, the fire of communion in the Word of God every single day, it would not let him go. The psalmist wrote, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Friend, here is a book of life, if you will. The Lord Jesus Christ has exalted above his name, above all names. Here is a book tonight that the name of the Creator, the Sustainer, the Savior of all the world this evening, the one that endured such contradiction so that you and I can be saved and born again. Here is a book tonight that the one who suffered and died a shameful death on the cross of Calvary, at the end of the day, exalts this book over a name that is above all names in heaven. So friend, I challenge you tonight. I challenge you just with this simple thought. Take this word, write it upon thine heart, and in the great days and on the mountaintops and when everything is going well and all the people are taking their tracts from you with a great smile, when life is just great, when that sun is just following you and you're getting a nice tan and it's just a good one, it'll be a good day. But one day, to get to that other side of that mountain, you're going to have to go through a valley. And when that rain is raining upon you, and when it seems like all else has failed, and when people are spitting in your face, or when people says, I want nothing to do with that tract, I want nothing to do with your church, I want nothing to do with your gospel, I want nothing to do with your Bible. When they say those things, it is this word here that will sustain you. Through a fire of conviction, on the coldest days, it'll burn within you to move you forward with compassion. This Bible, the fire of communion, will be set into your life so that you'll be able to move forward and again see the days of sunshine outside of the days of rain. Let's bow our heads, if you will, tonight. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you will. Every head bowed, every eyes